On this episode of Digital Signage Digest, we'll be discussing news and new products that emerged from last month's Digital Signage Expo, the growing integration of system-on-chip displays, and how digital out-of-home is engaging board owners to expand the industry. All this and more on Digital Signage Digest.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is Digital Signage Digest episode number 3, Creative Connections.
Support for AV Nation is brought to you by Peerless AV, driving technology through innovation.
I'm Lenore Lean, and this is Digital Signage Digest, the AV Nation TV show that looks at the news and issues of the digital signage market. With me today is multimedia journalist and content creator Alicia Hedney, who is Associate Sales Engineer at Access Networks, Brian Fitzpatrick, President and CEO of Revel Media Group, and Adrian Cotterill, co-founder and editor-in-chief of Daily Do. Welcome to the show. It's wonderful to have you all with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Lenore.
Yes, thank you.
On this episode of Digital Signage Digest, we'll be discussing news and new products that emerged from last month's Digital Signage Expo, the growing integration of systems on chip displays, and how digital out-of-home is engaging board owners to expand the industry. So let's dive in. Digital Signage Expo wrapped up a few weeks ago in Las Vegas. What were some of the important news and takeaways and products to emerge from that show, and what did you see that you really liked?
Cool. Digital Signage Expo is one of my favorite shows, not being biased there, but I love going there to connect with everybody and just having a great time networking. But as far as technology-wise, I say ELP from NAC. NEC was really good. They're focusing on capturing data and not only just focusing on the content. Stratacache had something really cool in their booth where they're taking digital signage and placing it with virtual reality and putting all of that on a network, which was really awesome. And then I was also excited to see what 22 Miles did with the DSE app. Last year when I saw that technology that they did with wayfinding, I was like, this is really cool. It should be a part of the app because I have no sense of direction. And this year it was actually incorporated. So that was fun to see.
Brian, I know you had a special time there.
Yeah, no, DSE was great. We were fortunate to be chosen as the installation of the year for our work at the Hill Center Theater. That was a great honor, and we were excited about that. The other big thing that a couple of takeaways that I had is content and content creation is slowly continuing to grow as a segment of, the exhibitors. And, in an industry that touts content as king, it has been surprising to me over the last, 9-10 years I've attended the show that, content's not been the biggest part of the show, but it is growing. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was an interesting takeaway. And as far as technology goes, there was a really great augmented reality technology that was tucked into the data call booth called Imagination Park. And I don't know how many people were able to actually see a demo of that, but it's really a neat idea of taking digital signage and using digital signage to push people to different types of apps on their phones, where they can get into an augmented reality and using augmented reality to push down, audience information, whether that's promotions or fun facts about, whatever, facility you're in, things like that. I thought that was a really neat technology and a really, really interesting way to kind of converge what I like to call, the screen on the wall and the screen in the pocket.
Mm-hmm. Adrian, what did you see?
Well, we didn't go, so there you go. There's a different...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this was the first year that we missed the show. I mean, we had a bit of a dilemma because I think one of the things facing the digital signage and in some instances the AV world is the growth of vertical sector shows. So again, those of you on this call, and Tim really has been at the forefront of a lot of this stuff, you know, having a vertical sector show that may focus on, say, unified communications, or it may focus on education, or it may focus on airport, passenger terminals, or whatever. There's lots of those shows around. And we had the choice of attending Passenger Terminal Expo, which is a big show in Europe, or going to DSE. Now, we found about a dozen AV and digital signage companies had jumped on the bandwagon created pretty much by NEC Display Solutions. In Europe, at least for the last 6 or 7 years, NEC have been the only AV company at a show called Passenger Terminal Expo. As its name implies, it's a show for people who are into airports and airlines and passenger terminals. And of course, what you end up with is that holy grail of any show, the magical end user, you know, people who are going to buy your product. Well, this year, NEC were copycatted, if that's the right word. I'm not sure that word exists. But Samsung, LG, Panasonic, Esprit Digital, Trueform, Scala, a big Stratocaster company, of course, NDS. You know, there was there were a dozen companies that just basically jumped on the bandwagon created by NEC and going to an end user show. So we had that choice. I have been a fan of DSE. I note that this year it was their second largest in its history. But look at the numbers. 4,260 people. You know, there was 4,000 people 15 years ago or 16 years ago when the show first started. It hasn't really grown. Compare that to what
it is.
How long have you got on a show? We haven't got enough time to talk about why that is. But no, look at how you guys all now look at ISE in Amsterdam every year and how you want to go. 16 years ago, ISE started off and it had 4,000 people when it was in Geneva, 4,000 people when it was in Brussels. It's now a show that attracts 82,000 people. So I want to call into question a show that can't grow. If you only have 4,000 users every year for 15 years, you're doing something wrong. And the thing that you're doing wrong is that people don't really understand what digital signage is all about, I think. I don't know. Go on. Sorry, Eleanor.
No. I was just wondering if that's if one of the solutions to that, I mean, obviously, is to get a better understanding of digital signage. But as you brought up the expo that you intended in play, instead, is it about end users as well? Should end users be aware of this show, and will that help the numbers?
I think any show is about end users, because if I'm going to spend anywhere from, I don't know, if you exhibit at a show, what's the cheapest you can do it for? I don't know, $15,000-$20,000 maybe. Some people spend half. Stratocash family probably spent $500,000. You know, Samsung, obviously it's a drop in the ocean whatever they spend on their stand, but you know, the people keeping DSC alive are very much NEC, Stratocash, and their family of people, and Samsung. Well, these people are probably spending $400,000 or $500,000, I would have thought, for putting the people up and doing the stand and all the other logistics and things. You got to have end users. You got to have people buying product at the end of the day. The better question is, I mean, again, you AV people, sorry to lump you all together here, but you know better than I. I mean, the reason why Infocom is so great or ISE is so great is because there are so many people there that there's bound to be thousands and thousands of end users just because of the sheer numbers of people going. So I think end users always keep shows alive. If you don't have the end users, you don't have a show, I think. I'm not a marketing manager for an exhibitor, so I don't know, but there has to be some reason for that to be the case.
Okay, well, we'll probably address that next year when we get them on the show. So let's just move on to system on chip displays. Matt, you and your Revel team recently completed a pretty comprehensive digital signage integration project at the Vid Center, which is the home of the Utah Jazz in Salt Lake City. It's the first stadium-wide deployment of Samsung's SoC displays, meaning there's not a single media player behind any of the over 600 displays throughout the facility. Can you tell us a little bit about that project and where you think we are as an industry on integrating SoC displays?
Absolutely. We as a company identified, you know, system on a chip, you know, 6-7 years ago when the technology really came out and started to become to the forefront. It just made a lot of sense to us from an architecture and topology standpoint. You know, one of the kind of dirty little secrets in digital signage is that, you know, most deployments, you know, fail or struggle. And a big reason for that is the complexity of, you know, of the deployment and the complexity of the hardware. And one of the weakest links in digital signage is the media player. You know, choose your flavor, right? Windows, Android, you know, I mean, it really doesn't matter. That outboard device is the weakest link. It's not typically the display that's failing in a lot of these instances. It has to do with the media player. So when System on a Chip was launched, you know, we looked at that as a tremendous opportunity as a company to get rid of one of the biggest headaches that we had seen in, you know, our thousands of deployments. So we adopted it, you know, very early on. And then, you know, obviously the technology when it first came out was substandard to some things that you could do on a media player. As it's continued to grow, you know, we're finding less and less, you know, limitations that SoC has. You know, SoC still does have some mild limitations, you know, as opposed to, you know, a Windows PC running, you know, an i7 chip and 64 gig of RAM and all this kind of stuff. But I really think as an industry, you know, one of the things that, you know, we've kind of created for ourselves has been this idea that, you know, just because we can, we do. And I'm a big believer in, you know, taking a big look at, you know, the overall sustainability of deployments. And, you know, maybe tempering that a little bit with saying, okay, what's the reward of simplifying the technology and maybe simplifying the content and the content delivery versus really having, you know, a lot of additional technology to maybe gain a couple of features or a couple of different ways you can deploy the content. But when you look at that, you know, you temper that with the advantages of, you know, simplifying the deployment and having less maintenance and things lasting longer and, you know, less downtime and all of those things, you know, we really truly believe that system on a chip is, you know, is the way to go. So we've been doing system on a chip really in, you know, 14 vertical markets for, like I said, you know, 5, 6, 7 years.
Can I ask a question, Brian?
Absolutely.
I've seen some of the stuff that you've done, and it looks pretty amazing, and I understand everything you've just said makes a lot of sense. Is your system on a chip stuff exclusively Samsung, or do you use other SoC solutions?
So we do have the ability to go on other SoC solutions. However, we are a huge partner with Samsung. Right. You know, we truly believe that Samsung's SoC technology is superior to some of the other manufacturers. And that may just be the fact that they got into it first, and they've had, you know, they've had the most time to really, you know, develop it and get it, you know, bring the technology along. So specifically in, you know, the Vivint Arena for the Utah Jazz, you know, we had never done a sports stadium before, and we were approached by the Jazz mainly because, you know, all of their sponsors are our customers. And so when they came in and started talking to us, you know, we brought up system on a chip, and I brought it up in the meetings, assuming that everybody in sports was just doing it that way because of all of the advantages, you know, less capital expense, less failure points, you know, the longevity of the system's better, all of those things. And I was very surprised to find that it was not the standard, and even not the standard, it really hadn't been done successfully in sports. And so, you know, for us, you know, everybody was really excited that we brought system on a chip to a venue, and it was this big deal, you know, in that industry and in that vertical. And to us, we're like, hey, we have tens of thousands of screens running system on a chip and have for years.
Mm-hmm. So to Alicia and Brian, hearing Matt's really positive experience using it, do you guys think it's the game changer that it's being touted as?
In this case, definitely. Brian and his team at Revel do really great work, especially with system on a chip. But not only is system on a chip helpful for them, because I know Revel has their custom software that they've created, and it's web-based. And what it does is integrate all those other apps that you want to use for your content creation. So you can use Revel's custom software, their content management system, right there in your own facility without having to dib and dabble into different content management systems. They basically created a system to where it's so simple, anyone can do it, and it's web-based. So in this case, at the Utah Jazz facility in that venue, imagine how powerful that is for the content creators and the marketing team there, especially with having so many screens and trying to create this high-level experience for the fan. That by itself is amazing.
Yeah. Adrian, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, so I agree with what Alicia said. I think the interesting thing, the clever thing is that Samsung pretty much, the reason I asked Brian that question earlier was because if you say the word system on chip, mm-hmm. people think of Samsung. That's the clever thing that Samsung have done. You know, it's like, it's just very clever. And as Brian says, you know, they've been doing it for a long time. There was certainly the early entrant into it. They didn't enter it very well. They were typically Korean arrogant about the whole thing. Early versions of system on a chip, it wasn't very powerful. It wasn't particularly well written. But Brian, are they on version 4 or something of it now, I think?
Correct. Yeah, they're on version 4. And then, you know, it's all running the Tizen operating system right now. And that was one of the things that really, you know, if you talk about a game changer, you know, system on a chip, I think was, you know, it was a great concept. It you know, removed a lot of complexity. But like you said, the earlier versions did have, you know, some limitations.
Yeah.
With the new Tizen OS and, you know, a stronger chipset and things like that, you know, we're finding truly that those limitations are becoming less and less, and the benefits are far outweighing, you know, utilizing a separate right. media player.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, I was going to say, just hats off to Samsung for creating that market. I mean, now, if you say system on a chip, you think of Samsung, it seems to be pretty robust. People are using it in anger very well. Remember that there is LG WebOS, Philips have got a solution.
Yeah.
You know, Raspberry Pi is in there as well with what NEC are doing with the OMI. But again, you know, look, I've never really been the biggest Samsung fan, but it should mean a lot to me to say that, you know, really, hats off to Samsung for creating this marketplace. You know, you've had Intel and NEC launch OPS, the Open Pluggable Specification. You know, that's nothing. That's not taken off anything like system on a chip. And that was launched many years beforehand. So I think you're just going to see more and more system on a chip implementations. And I guess the majority of them, I don't know, 80, 90% of them are going to be Samsung. And it seems to be the way to go forward in many, many installations. Nice and easy.
So what are some of the areas in digital signage that this app, you know, this technology would be perfect for? Where will it make the biggest impact is really the question.
Well, Brian, being at the forefront of all this stuff, can tell you better than I, but it's anywhere you need something simple. You know, QSR, you may not see it in high-end media walls just yet, but you will do one day, I suspect, but anything that needs a simple menu board. The whole thing should be simple. I mean, you hang this thing on a wall and it should connect to something, the internet, the cloud, and it should do digital signage. I mean, that's what, you know, when you buy an iPhone, that's how it works, whether it be iTunes or the iCloud or whatever else. That's really what we should be aiming for in our industry. Yeah. And you know, Samsung and system on a chip seem to be the closest people to bringing that to us.
Well, I definitely agree with you on that. And, you know, QSR is really the biggest opportunity for system on a chip. I agree with that statement as well. And you're right. Anytime that it needs to be simple, which is about 98% of all the deployments of digital signage. You know, yes. I think as an industry, you know, one of the challenges I've seen in this industry, you know, being in it for the last decade, has been everybody thinks about the hardware first and the features and you know, how cool can I make this and how many different ways can I do this? And the end user doesn't think like that. The end user says, I have a message I need to get to my audience. Help me communicate that message the easiest way possible, the most cost-effective way possible. And, you know, as an industry, I'm seeing the shift finally after a decade of, you know, people listening more and more to the end user and saying, okay, this isn't about the coolest, craziest thing we can do. This is about the message. This is about what they're trying to communicate. And we need to be, we as an industry need to educate people on how to do that in the easiest, most cost-effective and you know, most robust way.
And Brian, you and I have had this conversation multiple times about how Rebel leads with the content first and really figuring out what the end user wants. And that's what personally got me into the digital signage space. I was an end user at one point, and it was very frustrating not to be able to simply find the best solution that was going to be simple and easy for us to deploy. So like you said, content is king, but the end user is not focused on that all the time. We're just trying to figure out how do we get to our end goal, and companies like Rebel stepping in doing that, and companies like Samsung leading the forefront with system on a chip makes that all an easier process.
So Alicia, as an end user, you've engaged with this with system on a chip in your work, both as an end user and as a digital signage expert?
When I was an end user, that was a focus of mine to try and take the PowerPoint stuff out of the way and find something that really worked. And system on a chip, like we've been talking about, is that simple format to where we could take our Samsung displays that we were using and kind of stay brand aligned with something that we already had in place. So that was something that I was really trying to push at the time. But I recently made a switch to manufacturer, and being in the digital signage space is just something that is very unique because the industry is changing. The show itself is trying to push a little bit of different content and getting more verticals involved. So it's been interesting to see it grow, but that was definitely a frustration as an end user, was trying to find the simplest form that anybody on our team could step into place and work and not just have that one person know how to update content.
So it's you guys say that it's simplifying digital signage and making it easier for end users to actually enjoy, not only enjoy, but practically use the system.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Adrian, here's a topic for you. We know that digital out of home is proving to be one of the fastest growing segments of digital signage. It's been around for quite some time, as you all know with your coverage. One of the interesting things that I've found that we haven't talked about is we've talked about, you know, the experience of using digital out-of-home stuff, but how are advertisers engaging with the owners of these billboards to reach a wider audience?
Good question. And you'd think that there would be a lovely positive answer. I'm not sure there necessarily is a way that the audience are talking to the billboard people. Okay, we have lots of startups out there. I mean, you just need to look at some of the people who've recently joined the, you know, Barry Fry and the DPAA. I mean, Barry's the master of recruiting new digital signage and digital out-of-home startups to his organization, the DPAA. Mm-hmm. You look at them, and they've all got some different way for an audience to talk to a billboard, a screen, a display, or whatever. You know, again, I don't want to come across as the cynical one, but you don't see very much uptake in that. You know, maybe it's just the old white guy in me, but you don't see it. I mean, billboards advertise because it's a big screen and there's a big brand and a big logo and a big message, and it reaches lots and lots of people because it's by a roadside or in, you know, a big area where there's lots and lots of foot traffic. It's in somewhere which might be captive, like inside a taxi or inside a railway station or an airport. There isn't that much two-way communication. You'd imagine, you know, with our technology that there would be lots of it, but there isn't. There's, I can't think of many examples where there's been great two-way communication. You get the occasional campaign that has some Twitter feedback, but of course, you know, then the Twitter feed has to be moderated in case there's anything wrong with the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of dynamic campaigns, but they're, and again, it sounds cynical, but they're, the dynamic campaigns you may get are, it's sunny, let's advertise ice creams. It's raining, let's advertise umbrellas. I mean, it's pretty simple stuff, really. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, maybe Alicia's seen better examples, but I can't think of very many two-way interactive systems just yet.
Have you encountered any interactive or innovative interactive digital out-of-home systems in the past couple of years, Alicia?
What's been interesting to watch, really, as I look to Adrian as a leader in this space. I've gone to multiple of his events at New York Digital Signage Week, where he has, you know, these ad companies that work directly with the owner. But from a different standpoint is how the companies are working with advertising companies, like particular companies that have the product, and they are working with advertisers, but not only advertisement companies, but the company is also excelling in consumer patterns. So what they're doing is they're targeting certain designated like market areas. They're figuring out who's in those areas and what they need to show the direct that foot traffic either into a store or into a certain area where there's a lot of, say, cell phone providers, to where people can go in there and look at, you know, whatever the most recent new cell phone is or their new product. But I've really only seen it done with cell phone providers, where they're putting these ads up for the new cell phones that's going to come out, and they're putting them in designated areas to market to a certain clientele or a certain consumer, and seeing where the foot traffic is being elevated. Yeah. That's the only way I've really seen it.
Alicia, spot on. I mean, we the industry calls that geofencing, and there's lots of geofencing companies out there that are doing this stuff. Do you know what? It's one of the things where you could say that the Americans are leading on. And that's mainly because, not being rude, but you don't have that many privacy concerns. Yep. You know, a lot of this stuff would never, ever, ever work in the UK or in Europe just because of privacy stuff. You know, oh my God, somebody's looking at my mobile phone. Oh my God, somebody knows I've got an Android or a Samsung or an Apple. Somebody knows I'm within 50 feet of a Foot Locker or 50 feet of a Verizon store or something. So the geofencing stuff works, but it's still, that's a surreptitious / hidden, if you like, interaction with the end user. But an interesting question.
Yeah. We've been focusing a lot on just digital signage generally, but digital out of home, you know, it seems this conversation has been the same conversation for quite some time. And I was wondering if there's any avenues that can kind of liven up that particular segment.
Well, there you go, Lenore. That's a much bigger question and a subject for a half hour show all on its own. I mean, again, because I run a number of events, I guess I see this firsthand by the people who turn up at our events, but ad tech is the big thing that's changing the out-of-home space at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, advertising technology, programmatic buying, marketplaces, market exchanges, automation. All of a sudden, you've got all these online companies. Anybody who does online display advertising, you know, that could be Google, DoubleClick, MediaMath, Adobe, Amazon, Verizon Media. There are dozens and dozens of these companies that make, you know, lots and lots of money from display advertising, the cookies that follow you around your browser windows. And they're all looking out of home. And the out of home people are looking at them because they think there's a whole new bucket of dollars, advertising dollars, being thrown into the space. And done properly, there probably is. There probably is a lot of money out there of people who could do what just Alicia's just described, you know. I've got some, I won't say spare time, but I've got some screen time that I could give to, you know, people who might be looking at buying a new mobile phone. Well, hey, I can programmatically serve that out to certain locations where there's several hundred people who might be interested in buying a mobile phone. That technology is here, as we all know. That's the thing that gives rise to a lot of the privacy concern stuff. We'll see lots more on national media and TV and press and things about how scary that all is. But that's the exciting time. That's really happening now. And that's pretty much, I think, a turning point. One thing I will say, which I think is a positive thing, because digital out of home or out of home for a long time has been, I'm 56 years old, so I'm one of these people, but it's been an old white guy's business. You know, it's been around for 30 years and it's the same old people running it. When we put an ad tech conference on, we suddenly see that the audience is 50-50 male, female, which we've never seen before. The audience is very diverse in terms of its racial makeup. They're young, passionate people. And so they're starting to change it. And I think the older traditional billboard people are starting to wake up and notice this. So that's the big change. And I know we always talk about tipping points in the industry.
Yeah.
But you've got to believe that in the next 12 months, that is the big tipping point, is that ad tech will take over a lot of the out-of-home stuff. You've got to believe it. It's going to happen. But just because it's like we talked about before with Samsung and the marketing dollars they've got with SOC. You know, you look at these online display companies, they've got tons of money. They're making an absolute fortune. And that money is starting to come into the out-of-home world. So I think that's the exciting thing.
So I think that's a positive note to close out our show. Thank you all for joining us today on Digital Signage Digest. Where can our listeners find you? Brian?
You can find us at reveltv.com.
Alicia?
Absolutely. You can find me all over the internet at The Smooth Factor, on Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. But I'm not on Snapchat. But if you're on any other platform, you can find me there at The Smooth Factor. And also my website is thesmoothfactor.com.
Adrian?
Hi. Yeah, you can find us on Daily Do, DailyDooH, on Twitter, or just DailyDoo.com.
Wonderful. Thank you for coming to our show today. I'm Lenore Aline, and you can find me on Twitter at LenoreDSM. That's LenoreDSM. For AV Nation, visit our website, avnation.com. You'll find this show and a host of others. While you're there, please visit our supporters section. These are the companies that support us financially and help us bring you Digital Signage Digest, coverage of DSC, Infocom, and more. All that and more at avnation.tv. That's avnation.tv.